Whole Foods Market celebrates Earth Month with the Do Something Real Film Festival, a collection of six provocative, character-driven films focused on food, environmental issues, and everyday people with a greater vision. Come see one of the six features at City Cinemas Village East from Saturday, April 16th through Thursday, April 21st, every night at 6 p.m. Learn more about the films and special events at www.dosomethingreal.com. That's www.dosomethingreal.com. Sponsored by Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring people back to what's great in food. Culinary traditions, cooking at home, knowing your farmer, or even growing your own food. I spotlight good food fighters and the culture of the good food movement. From chefs to tastemakers to moms on a budget. Today, we'll be talking food headlines and the Hot Grease Vault. If you're listening live to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network, remember our live call-in number is 718-497-2128. Every month, we bring you commentary on recent food news. In the studio to talk Red Rooster, GMOs, and the morality of mealtime is Shoshana Levy. Miss Levy is a certified holistic nutritionist. Shoshana, welcome to Hot Grease.
Hi.
You're excited to be here, huh?
Yeah, I'm really excited.
So first up, let's talk President Obama at Red Rooster. There was recently a DNC fundraiser at $30,000 per head. And I guess the question that I have for you, does it still matter what and where Mr. President it's eating, or what he's eating, or where?
I suppose it does matter to some extent because he's put himself as a food advocate. That's a very expensive meal. I mean, I would rather that money went to actually help people grow food or, you know, feed people. But the sweet potato donuts sounded good. I was like, that's a very expensive donut, though.
Yeah. I mean, it was a fundraiser.
It
was a DNC fundraiser to support, you know, his reelection or other Democrats.
Sure.
In New York City. And I've had the sweet potato donuts at Red Rooster.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
did it cost $30,000?
Hell no. Hell no. But I'm not mad. But I guess people are still, regardless of what's going on in Libya and all these other places, people are still intrigued by where and what he dines on and where he dines.
I think because ever since his campaign and he talked about food, people have associated him with food. I'm not really mad. It's a deeper issue about, you know, how much money they spend on campaigns. But really, you know, at least he was eating good, wholesome food, you know, local, sustainable, organic. At least he's, you know, eating good food.
True, true, true. So next headline, your blog post on GMOs. It can be found at, what's your website?
NutritionEvolution.net.
So tell us about your blog post that you wrote about GMOs.
Well, last week on March 26th, I spoke at an anti-GMO rally. Not just anti-GMO, but also the fact that Dennis Kucinich has a bill to support labeling GMOs like they do in other countries. Because whether you agree or disagree with GMOs being good, the point is those of us that don't believe in eating them, we should have the same right to know as someone who's a vegan who doesn't want meat or someone who eats kosher that their food is actually kosher. So I think it's about our right to know, separate of the fact that a lot of us in the health field believe GMOs are horrible for our health.
So are we going to get more food headlines / blog posts from you about GMOs and other
Definitely. I've written about them in the past, but I'm planning to get more involved with the activism side of it. There's going to be a big national rally on World Food Day on October 16th, and I'm going to help organize that. We also have a Facebook page, which is called Right to Know New York City. And if you're interested in, you know, getting involved for the national rallies, you can check there.
Cool. So let's move to the Time magazine article titled The Morality of Mealtime. I guess the question that I have, and I would love to talk to pick your brain about, is this whole battle between, I don't know if it's a battle, but the evolution or the movement of vegetarianism kind of out of the spotlight to the present food movement.
Yes.
Were you, have you all, you eat meat, right?
I was a vegetarian for 10 years. And then I went to nutrition school and realized that a lot of my health issues weren't being served by the vegetarian diet. And when I switched to meat, everything worked better. But I only eat sustainable, ethical sources of meat. And this is a raging debate between the meat eaters and the vegetarians. But just actually this morning on my Facebook nutrition page, there's a big debate about this. But ultimately, we should all get together, the people that are against factory farms, against GMOs, against cloned meat, and make a united front and agree to disagree.
Yeah, I found it very frustrating to see, you know, some vegetarians. I've been at an event before and there were vegetarians there and I brought donuts. Actually, I brought dough donuts. Shout out to dough. And the vegetarian folks went crazy. They were just like, how could you bring donuts? And I'm like, look, they're not using any additives. There aren't any preservatives. It's real food.
Right.
So I hate that we can't join forces. I was just like you. I was vegetarian. Well, I actually ate fish, so I guess I'm pescatarian.
Ovo-lacto-pescatarian.
Yeah, whatever. All these labels. Yeah. I think, you know, joining together would really, really enhance the movement.
Yeah, we definitely need to unite. If you're against fake food and chemical food and additive food and, you know, cruelty to animals, whether you're vegetarian or an omnivore, we all need to get together. And I think the other part is a lot of people do eat too much meat. Like, people don't even realize a burger, an 8-ounce burger, that's at least 2 servings of meat. A serving of meat is only 3 to 4 ounces. So I think, even though I eat meat, I consider myself as someone who eats a plant-based diet. Most of my diet is vegetables and nuts and seeds with sprinklings of animal protein. It's not like I'm eating meat 3 times a day. So I think, you know, we need to get reasonable about all this and put it into perspective and unite.
So if you're listening live and you want to check out the in-depth article, it was in last week's Time magazine. I'm going to assume that it was in print and online, but you can go online. It's titled The Morality of Mealtime. Yeah. So up next, I'm sorry, we got to talk Top Chef. I didn't know you were a fan till you commented.
I love Top Chef.
I didn't know you were a fan till you commented on the Facebook page. So how do you feel about, were you team Richard or team?
Well, honestly, at that point, I just wanted Richard to win because if he didn't, he was like going to short circuit and have like tizzies for the rest of his life. But what actually pulled me into Top Chef was the very first episode I saw years ago, they went to the farmer's market.
Yeah.
And, you know, normally they would go buy organic foods and things like that. I have noticed a slight decline, like I'm seeing more, you know, Swanson's and more product placement.
I guess they're paying the bills, huh?
Yeah, more junk food. But I still like, it's not your standard reality show where people are ripping each other's hair out.
And you know, shout out Whole Foods for sponsoring this episode of Hot Grease. And so it was amazing to see this season of Top Chef back in New York. And you would see them at Whole Foods, Bowery, Whole Foods. But then, yeah, you would see all that. There's a lot of product placement in there.
It's moved that way.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of ignore it, but the story is Richard, you know, he's...
No, I'm happy for the guy. But I mean, what was weird to me, though, is at the finale, they're like, and he owns 4 restaurants. I'm like, if he owns 4 restaurants, why does he even need to be Top Chef?
You know? So Flip Burger is in Atlanta. I don't know if you know this. I used to live in Atlanta. But I've never had it. It opened, I think, after I moved to New York. So, and then he worked a few other places. So I'm happy for him because he really wanted this, huh?
He wanted it so bad. No, I was happy for him. Plus, the other guy was a little bit, you know, smug.
Yeah. He was kind of funny. Did you see the after show? He was freaking drunk on the after show.
Oh, really? I missed that.
Yeah. And I think, I could be wrong, Jack, shake your head. Richard, was he on one of the shows on Heritage, on Snacky Tunes, maybe?
Oh, nice.
Okay, yeah, he's nodding, thumbs up. So Richard, I don't think he was in the studio. Maybe it was...
He was on the phone.
On the phone. So
Darren's actually worked with him on a show.
Oh, okay. Before, yeah. Cool. So, yeah, if you're listening, you want to hear Richard, go to Heritage, put in his name, and it'll bring up the show. You know, we bring the hotness here on Hot Grease. Did you know that, Shoshana?
I do, yeah.
Ah! So, last but not least, speaking of hotness, I sent you this article, and I want to shout out Anne Saxelby. Saxelby Cheesemongers just expanded in Red Hook. Had you heard of Anne Saxelby before? Because you just moved here.
I just moved here 2 months ago, so I'm not up on all the everything. I'm working on it, though.
So Anne, for folks who are listening and they're not New York-based, or maybe you're New York-based and you just didn't know, Anne owns an all-American cheese shop in Essex Market in the Lower East Side, but she just expanded to Red Hook, so she's joined a list of whole bunch of food people in Red Hook that are doing cool things. But I thought I would bring it up because her show has now moved to 4:30 on Monday. So she's right after me here.
Nice.
Yeah. And I love Anne. Anne is, she is the person that's solely responsible for me being on Heritage Radio Network. Yeah. I used to get her emails and I was like, wow, this show on Heritage Radio Network. So shout out to Anne Saxelby.
And even though I'm not as familiar with her, I'm happy that she's using milk coming from good farms and not using, you know, hormones and chemicals and factory farms.
Yeah, all American cheeses. And I think she is now the exclusive distributor of Salvatore Ricotta, nice, which is a ricotta that's made here in Brooklyn. All right, cool. Food headlines for the month of April. We are going to come take a short break and come back with more Shoshana Leaving.
This is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Every Tuesday at noon, Dave Arnold, the author of CookingIssues.com, will discuss new and innovative techniques, equipment, and ingredients. Call in with your own questions to see if Dave and the crew can solve your cooking issues. Again, that's Tuesdays at noon on the Heritage Radio Network.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. We are chatting with Shoshana Levy. Shoshana is a Brooklyn-based holistic advocate who shares her knowledge about the benefits of soul. And she calls soul seasonal, organic, unrefined, local diet.
That's right.
Shoshana, you recently moved to the East Coast.
Yes.
So what do you think so far?
I love Brooklyn. I had never been to New York, and I came here in January. And
oh, that was your first time coming?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I actually met Nicole here. I did a talk on gluten, and she was one of the people that came. And when I came here, it occurred to me that the work I'm doing could be more useful out here, because in San Francisco, there's this already this bubble of holistic everything. And here it just seems like it's getting started. And it seems like a lot of New Yorkers don't have time to eat or aren't eating the right food. Or it just seemed like there was room for me to come here.
There's always room for another person. Add to the 8 million. 8 million and one. Shoshana is here.
Woohoo!
So I have to ask you, we have a lot of people that are that listen that are on the West Coast. I think one of the highest listenership base is like San Francisco Bay Area here on Heritage Radio Network. What do you miss? What are some of your favorite spots on the West Coast in terms of great food? Things that since you've been here the last 2 months, you're like, ugh, just give me one day and I'll go back.
Well, for me, the most obvious, hugest thing I miss is the Saturday market at the Ferry Building. I went there for many years, and they just had foodie everything. And I noticed that there, like here, all the seasonal food is much more expensive because California is the bounty. The other thing I miss a lot is Rainbow Grocery, which is a giant co-op, like as big as any Whole Foods. And everything is, you know, really high quality food. They have the biggest bulk section. I mean, bulk oils, nuts, seeds, seaweeds, beauty products. And it's all labeled local, like where it comes from. So I definitely miss that. Here, there's a lot more little markets. But the most interesting thing that I've seen here is there's all these markets, like these little bodegas, and it'll say organic, natural, and you go in, and there's not.
Oh, you didn't know? Newsflash. Girl, that's a joke.
I know, it's hilarious.
So have you been to the co-op, a.k.a. Park Slope Food Co-op?
Actually, that's so funny because there's so much synchronicity happening here in New York. I'm going there tonight with a friend.
Oh, really?
To determine.
Are you doing a tour?
Yes, because I haven't decided if I want to join or not. It seems like a really good thing, but it could take a long time to get in because they have so many members, and it's a long process.
Yeah, the co-op. For people that are listening, the Park Slope Food Co-op has been around since, what, the early 70s? It's one of the longest running co-ops in the United States. You know, some folk, I'm not a co-op member. I have to make that disclaimer all the time because people assume that I am. I'm not. Some folks think it's a cult.
That's what I'm going to determine.
Oh, okay. You'll fit right in with a cult though, Shoshana.
I am a cult.
I love it. So speaking of things that you're finding out, what things do you love here in New York City that you couldn't get in the Bay Area?
Well, I think here the biggest thing I've noticed is that people don't take it for granted here. I think people here seem more appreciative and more grateful about learning about all this holistic food and seasonal. It's new. The movement is fresh. So there's an excitement here. Whereas I think on the West Coast, it's kind of like, oh, there's another, you know, local store, another. I mean, in San Francisco, like all the restaurants serve seasonal organic food. So here, I love the fact that people are rah, rah, rah about it. That's pretty exciting.
So you mentioned earlier, I met you back in the winter. We're now in spring, believe it or not, at a workshop about gluten stuff. Tell us a little bit about your counseling business. You are a certified holistic nutritionist.
That's right.
What does that mean? And what are your services?
Well, I studied holistic nutrition at Bowman College, which is very much where I learned about soul food and eating real food and eating food how it came from nature, moving away from anything processed and eating a nutrient-dense diet. And I do a few different things. I see private clients via Skype and over the phone. I found people really love to see their nutritionist while wearing their pajamas. It's pretty convenient. But I also am very passionate about giving talks and classes and workshops because I think education is such a huge part of this. And even for people that are not 100% committed, they're not, maybe I don't want to work with you and change every aspect of my diet, but maybe I need some more information. So I kind of just really want to do everything I can to spread the word about, you know, eating real food.
Yeah, I've had one show before about gluten. God, I can't even remember my friend's name, my blogger friend. Oh, well, she came on the show. She broke down the gluten thing more so. She has a blog about her gluten eating adventures. I'll remember and I'll shout it out again via Facebook or Twitter. But speaking of Facebook and Twitter, if folks want to find more about you, what's your handles?
Facebook is Nutrition Evolution and Twitter is Nutrition Evolve.
Okay. And your blog, your website?
NutritionEvolution.net.
Cool. So you're going to, we have the last segment I'm going to do. I want you to stay with me.
Okay.
Stay in the studio. I'm going to, for folks who are listening for the first time, I know your grandmother is listening because she called this show. I hope the Wu-Tang song didn't scare her. It probably did, huh?
Hi, Granny.
Yeah. So, stick with us if you're listening. I'm going to do a rundown of shows folks need to listen to if this is their first time tuning in so they can see what Hot Grease is all about.
Great.
We'll be back. Keep listening.
Every once in a while you meet a child that drives you wild. What a mistake, a go downtown style. A winter.
that explodes. A princess and a mistress just as someday best to impress a fresh love interest. To set the stage, receive a praise and leave a sour taste that only gets sweeter as it fades. She just can't help being a girl. She just
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced and engineered by Jack Inslee. Let me give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York. The location of two sustainable shipping containers, also known as Heritage Radio Network. Is this your first time listening to Hot Grease? If so, I'm going to give you the must listen to episodes. So if you're trying to figure out Shoshana, I don't know if you've had a chance to go through all. I think I'm like at episode 68. If you want to find out what I'm all about, I'm going to just kind of highlight some of these. So we can talk about Brooklyn Flea.
Okay.
Because you went.
Yeah.
You went. So back in the fall or early winter, Eric Denby, the co-founder of the Brooklyn Flea, was on the show. And I would say to anyone, go listen to that show. I talk about Brooklyn Flea a lot. But if you want to hear, get a listen for what Hot Grease is all about. That's a great show to listen to. So, Eric Denby, what did you think of the Flea?
It was really cool. There was, I mean, of course, the first thing I did was go to all the food stands and introduce myself. You know, I'm really just trying to collaborate with everybody in the local food movement. And there was some really good salsa. And I didn't really go to the stands that were selling the prepared food because they had like 20 to 50 people in each line.
So you had Brooklyn salsa and
that was good
stuff.
And some chocolate that was really good.
Okay. Yeah, so you should go back and listen to the episode. Eric gives like from birth to now about the Brooklyn Flea, of how it all got started, how people set up in the morning. It's a really cool thing. And he talks about some of the businesses that started there and where they are now. So listen to it. If you're listening for the first time, folks, check out the Eric Denby episode. If you're trying to figure out how do I find that episode because I don't have the number in front of me, you can literally go to the front page of Heritage Radio Network, put in Brooklyn Flea. I'm sure you'll get a lot, but you can also put in Eric Denby. That's D-E-M-B-Y. If you're going straight to iTunes, you can go to iTunes, put in Hot Grease, and you will see all of the episodes, like up to 67, 68 episodes. Another episode I have to shout them out, I would say listen to, because here at Hot Grease, I'm an early adapter. And this episode just lets you know that I'm always ahead of the curve.
Nice.
Kings County Jerky.
I saw them there.
Yeah,
too.
They were on the show. I met them when they were like illegally making jerky.
Oh.
Yeah, so I saw them at the Flea this weekend. I bought some jerky. Did you try it?
Well, unfortunately, it's not gluten-free. So I asked them.
Jerky?
Well, because they use tamari. So I said, can you please make some, you know, even if you have to charge a little more with the gluten-free tamari. And they said that they were, you know, working on it. But it looked amazing. So if you are not on a gluten-free diet, it's, you know, sustainable pasture-raised beef
and all
jerky.
Of the jerky, even the, because I know they have the mushrooms there. Did they use tamari in that?
Yeah, they use soy sauce for all of it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, I didn't even know that. See how you gluten-free people, y'all school me, because I would have been like, oh, let me make some soy sauce tamari stuff. Here, Shoshana, you want to try? I would have been all wrong, huh?
You know, it's a process. We're learning.
So, yeah, Hot Grease is all about being an early adapter. So listen to that episode. Shout out to Kaylin Sanders. This is another reason why you should go back. She's been on the show twice. At the end of this month, she is doing a green expo about food and travel. She has a website called escapemaker.com. She's been on twice. She came on in the summer and talked about getaways in the summer. And then she was on the Valentine's Day show. And so the event, Green Expo Escape Makers, I'm going to pull out the date. I know it's the last Saturday in the month, which I think is the 30th. But I'm bringing this episode up because this, again, just highlights Hot Grease, that not only am I talking about BK food products, not only am I, you know, getting the hottest people in New York that are doing great things, I'm also showing or talking about travel and food. Escape Maker Food event is on the 30th of April from 11 to 5, and it's going to be at One Hanson Place. But check out Kaylin. You can put Kaylin Sanders in our search box, or you can put Escape Makers in there. The last two shows that are a must, which really defines Hot Greases. Can you take a guess? Let me see. Can you take a guess?
I already saw it.
You already saw it? But you should have known this before you, when you first met me. What did you first notice about my voice?
It's very nice.
No, the Southern accent. Duh. You got to go back and listen to the Red Velvet Cake episode. I've talked about it a lot. I think we have two episodes all about Red Velvet Cake. That just gives you a synopsis of what I'm all about on Hot Grease.
Okay. At least 10 more episodes mentioning it.
You know you love it, Jack.
I do love it.
Yes. People love it. It's Hot Grease. This is classic. Yes. Classic Hot Grease is Red Velvet. So just put it in. You'll see like a million times it's been tagged, and it's probably all me talking about it. But there must, if you're a first listener, first time listener.
We're in the process of making a best of CD, and I can tell you that Red Velvet segment is definitely representing Hot Grease.
You like, huh? Have you had Red Velvet Cake yet?
No, but now that you're talking about it, I'm like, maybe it'll be my challenge to try and make you a gluten-free Red Velvet Cake and see if it can live up to the original.
Before you make it, girl, you need to listen to these episodes.
I will.
Please do. I'll make sure I send you I'll post the links.
Give
on.
Give me the recipe and I'll,
okay, yeah.
See what I can do.
And last but not least, we like talking about, you know, people of color, more so black people here on Hot Grease and black food ways. And I think one of the most popular episodes are episodes that really just kind of are, you know, a part of Hot Grease is Dr. Frederick Opie. He's been on the show twice, but he came on MLK Day, and we did an MLK special, but he more so talked about social change and food and how food was a part of the social movement. He's been on before. He has a book called Hog and Hominy, but those two episodes definitely define what we're all about here on Hot Grease. So Shoshana, you got to go back and listen to all these. Go back and listen to all these, and all the first time listeners out there, check them out. Shoshana, thank you again for gracing us in the studios here at Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. You have to come back again.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
Listeners, thanks for listening. Remember, you can join me here every Monday at 3:30. But until then, always take the road less traveled.
The following is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. The Snacky Tunes compilation has arrived and is available for free on our website, heritageradionetwork.com. This compilation features live performances from some of the hottest acts around today, including Midnight Magic, Surfer Blood, Oberhofer, and more. Again, you can download this compilation for free on our website, heritageradionetwork.com, and make sure to listen to Snacky Tunes every Monday at 2 p.m. on Heritage Radio Network. The following message has been brought to you by Fairway Market. What's the buzz about honey? Well, those busy little bees are up to something, and it is delicious. The Fairway label honey is superb. Fairway only hires worker bees that are the best at what they do. This makes for a great-tasting, high-quality honey at an amazing value with the Fairway stamp of approval. And on top of being delicious, honey is a great substitute for other sweeteners and can even benefit your health. This includes better energy, respiratory improvements, and balanced blood sugar levels.
It's a no-brainer. Get your Fairway Honey today.